On this week's episode, we talk about the absolute thrilling Golden Point game on Easter Monday with the Tigers and Para. We talk about two underdogs in their top eight chances. What else do we have a chat about, Hawk?
The Panthers just keep rolling on. They are just unbelievable at the moment, and unfortunately, another tough week for the long-suffering Dragons fans. Let's get into it.
Cheers.
I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Steve, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, Hawk. Pretty big Easter weekend, plenty of footy, a few beers as well. How'd you go, mate?
Yep, sounds like my weekend as well. A few days away down the south coast of New South Wales and watched plenty of footy and, yeah, had a couple of Frosties as well. I don't know who would be most disappointed at the moment. What I just had to sit through, I don't know why I put myself through that fucking torture every week we go there, or the debacle that was your Dragons against the Cows. Shit, yeah. How bad were they?
Yeah, they weren't. They weren't at the level needed, mate. It's as simple as that. They just weren't at the expectation for the fans, the coaches, the media, the whole box and dice. So certainly, I think I win in the disappointed stakes. I mean, your guys certainly put up a cracking fight. It was a good game of footy, but yeah, the Dragons are just nowhere to be seen at the moment. They're lacking some confidence and just not playing well enough, mate.
Yeah, it's still pretty raw, mate. We're literally recording this it's 7:15, so it's just happened. I've just made my way from the ground to home. I was pretty proud of that. A good crack. I don't know what it was like on the TV, but we looked like we were busted. We had people limping all over the place. We had fullbacks playing on the wing. The most exciting bit for me was seeing the young fella up a twiddle that I'm sure every club's got them. The guys who go to training all the time, they're all across the lower leagues, and they've been rapping this kid for ages. Fuck me, what? First touch was unbelievable. Second touch is pretty slick. He got it on the wing and gave it back inside. Third touch is another try. What a debut.
Yeah, it was pretty special, mate. That's what come across pretty big and in your face with just how wounded Parramatta were. Obviously, the Simonson injury gave way to the debutant, and he just grabbed his opportunity with both hands. In the end, to your point, he was playing fullback. There was further injuries and further cramping, the whole box and dice. So for Parra to fought all the way to the end, I thought when Moses kicked that penalty goal, it was their game to be had. So they just kept fighting. So I know you're going to be disappointed you didn't get the 2 points, but as far as Easter Monday games go, they fought to the bitter end, mate.
Yeah, they had a crack, and we say that every week we go. We just want to see our team have a crack. A couple of things. We may as well do this game now. We can't win a short kickoff or a dropout, whether we're kicking them or we're receiving them. That's just been the case for a good few years now. I don't know. Still think our team looks smaller compared to a lot of teams. Like Tigers had a lot of big men out there on the outside backs. And again, it's hard to get a full read when you're at the game. But at one point, we're up 10-0. We were just dominating, and then I think it was Pezzett chipped on the first tackle. It went dead, and then he misses. He has a bad miss down the other end, and suddenly the Tigers are back in it.
Yeah, it was that momentum swing happened for a few different times throughout the game. Obviously, when the 10 in the bin happened. To Luke Lawley in that portion of the game, Parra put in those two quick tries, that Pezzett example as well. So momentum again through all the games this week was so important. So if you can hold on to the momentum for large chunks of the game, you're going to give yourselves a chance to win. But that kicking game, and you talk about how woeful the Dragons were, You put in a bad kick now, it not only ruins that set of six, but it just sets you up behind the eight ball, then ruins any chance of momentum. So certainly Pezet, not sure how serious the injury was that he went off. It was a HIA, but further, it didn't come back on due to a hamstring. So he was icing that up straight away. So whether that's a little bit of ducks and drakes so they can get around the HIA for next week, or whether there is a bit of a hamstring twinge there, we'll find out soon. But yeah, mate, the momentum's such a big thing for every team. Now, you talk about the size of Parra. I think you're, you know, sort of back five probably. You know, if you look at Simonson and Addo Carr, they're not traditional big, you know, take it out of yardage like the Cronulla or Penrith wingers. So, you know, maybe that sort of affects them a little bit in those early rucks. But look, they've still got some big men, obviously Junior Polo, and both their edge second rowers are fairly large men. So,
yep.
Yeah, it might be just the Tigers have got those young fellas coming through that are just some giants, mate.
Yeah, they are. What did you like about the Tigers?
Look, I just like that they're fighting. You know, a couple of times there in the game, to your point around that momentum swing, especially when Parra went bang-bang with Laualili in the bin. You know, traditionally over the last few years, Tigers would have said, oh, well, we've put up a good fight. We weren't supposed to win and just roll over. But bloody hell, they really fought and kept coming. Even when Moses kicked the penalty goal, they still kept coming. So that's a big change for them. And then Kaipis Paul on that edge has just been phenomenal. And then Dewey as well. Like, Dewey's running game a few times. Every time he touched the ball in that second half down the right side, he just was a little bit dangerous, just half misses. So, yeah, they've got some excitement. You know, there's talk Jerome Leilua might be back a little bit earlier than first expected. So, yeah, it's exciting times for them, mate. They played really well. As a fan, you'd be wrapped for them, mate.
Yeah, we talked about in the preview for the season saying that we just thought that the off-field stuff would be too much, but they've managed to really quieten that noise and get on with it. And, yeah, they got a good look about them. I mean, it's hard to get a real read, isn't it? Because we've got one team that's so far out in front of the rest. Mm. It's almost playing for second at this point. You look at what the Panthers did to the Storm, and we'll come back to that game. But Tigers could be just from what we've seen so far, again, very early, they could be definitely look like they're a massive contender for the eight. But then who knows how high they can go if they keep up the consistency.
Yeah, there's a couple of listener questions, and one of them's about the Tigers in making the top eight. And you're spot on. The way they've started, you know, they've got a really young, it's almost like when Benji first come through, they've got a really young side with a couple of more experienced, you know, forwards and Dewey there in the halves, where these young, big, you know, backs especially that have come through the lower grades that have always had some success, and it just changed the whole confidence of the team. And Benji's clearly got them rowing in the one direction this year. So, yeah, if you're a Tigers fan, you should be pretty chuffed and going to work tomorrow with a spring in your step.
Absolutely. Now, an interesting thing I noticed in the warm up, the Tigers did like a full team sort of game simulation right before they went into the change room. Now, growing up in the football world, like, that's exactly what you do. You play a smaller version, getting everyone like up and about and intense, and I was actually a little bit fearful that we haven't started well, that they might come out and dominate. But it's obviously Benj is just thinking, well, I'm gonna try things, creativity. Oh, I haven't seen any other team do that.
Yep.
But yeah, whatever he's doing is working. So
yeah, good on. Good on. How was the atmosphere out there, Hawk? What was the crowd on the TV? Unbelievable. Like jumping, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, mate. And they said it was a ground record, which was a little bit confusing because there was plenty of, well, not plenty, but you could see empty seats at the Tigers' end. Okay. But they pretty well separated it, and it was loud, and yeah, mate, it was good. It's hard for me to get too excited though, given how it ended.
Mate, you'll be right. I would have rather take that than what we got dished up, mate.
This is true. All right, let's move past that game. I'll put that to bed for the time being. I can be disappointed about that later. Let's go all the way back to Thursday night. I had the pleasure of being away, staying at a mate down the coast, and he's a Manly fan. And it's interesting. Relatively, they've had a fair bit of success over the years, but all fans are the same. He's like, yeah. Oh, we'll blow this lead. Like, just so down on, just thinking back to past experiences. He couldn't even watch. I'm like, mate, they're fine. The bounce back factor, new coach, new energy. I mean, the Dolphins were pretty flat. But it's amazing when you just get back to basics and keep things simple and put a smile on their faces because they genuinely looked happy.
Yeah, spot on, mate. You know, we called for it last week. As a Manly fan, all you wanted to do was see a bit of an effort, a bit of enthusiasm, and they come out and gave that in spades. So whatever Kieran Foran, said or did during the week, just gave them that spring in the step. So, for the Dolphins not to score a point until the 70th minute when it was obviously all well and truly done and dusted, with a fairly good attacking side. Look, the Dolphins didn't play great. I thought they were a little scrappy. And, we saw it last week. They're playing that sidewards a little bit. I think they've got to really straighten up their attack. That being said, you cannot take anything away from Manly. They played really, relentless attacking football. They just kept rolling at them. They had a lot of momentum, which is what the game's all about now. They just exposed the Dolphins. That's twice now the Dolphins have come away with pretty unexpected losses. So, I think there's a little bit there that they need to look at out at Redcliffe. But Kieran Foran started with a bang. So hopefully for the Manly fans, they can see that sort of result and effort keep flowing for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw something really interesting in the press conference. I don't know if you were that much of a nuffy that look at those sort of things, but it was on in the post game, and I just watched Tommy sitting next to Foran, and he's like watching, like nodding, just hanging on his every word. Yeah. And what a contrast from what we've seen in previous weeks when he almost was sick of the sound of Seibold's voice. Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, Seibold had just done his time there, mate. I don't think he had much of the ear of any of the players, and they just didn't seem to be engaged with him. And you saw the difference on the weekend. I missed that press conference, but that doesn't surprise me. All week you were hearing about how much he's respected at Brookvale and how much of an idol he is of a lot of the players. So they've obviously wanted to go out and in true Foran fashion, he only spoke about wanting to do it for the club and the players and coach as well as he could for them. So that's what Manly are good at, circle the wagons. Everyone's against me. Let's go out and prove people wrong. So, huge story for them to be able to turn it around. Look, I can't see, we've spoken before. I still don't think they've got the talent to make the eight. But if they can have that for their fans and show a bit of effort, I think that's a really good sign for them. But, as I said, the Dolphins got a few little problems there. There's a few times, for Manly to get over the top of them through the forwards is, with respect to Manly's pack, isn't something the Dolphins would have been expecting. So I think the Dolphins need to get back to the drawing boards pretty quickly for that one.
Yeah, and it's hard to know just how good Manly were because Dolphins were flat. But again, maybe that was a product of how the game unfolded because they didn't blow them out of the water straight away. What did you like? We talked about, they kept it pretty simple. Well, I'll tell you one thing I liked before I asked for your opinion was Turbo seemed to play with a freedom that I haven't seen for a good couple of years. Like, we've been talking about injuries, but he suddenly just looked a different player again.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, mate. They simplified everything. We spoke about Jake Trbojevic last week around, not having hit-ups, playing that link man footy. Well, he took more hit-ups in that game than he had the previous four. So I think Foran, went back to basics around just effort football, just run hard, tackle hard, and if you see an opportunity, go for it. I can't remember exactly. I think it might have been Kohler, but one of the backs chipped early in the tackle count, and they went up to Foran and lost the ball. The Dolphins fullback Hemmer picked it up, but Foran was like okay with it. If you had gone up to Bellamy or Stewart, they would have been absolutely blowing up. But so I think Foran's given them that license just to go out there, and if you see something, you see an opportunity, go for it, and just play some good positive footy. So, yeah, if I was a Manly fan at the moment, I'd be a lot happier than what I was a fortnight ago, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Plenty to like, and I don't know if it's season back on track, but they'll be much happier down on the peninsula. Bunny's Dogs. I don't know how the Dogs didn't win that one in the end.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I go the way South started, they were all over them. Canterbury fought back. It was one of those Easter games where the two clubs, it was a high-scoring game. You know, to see 56 points scored in the game was a big one, but you just got that little bit of class with Mitchell, especially on that left. You know, everyone who's got a podcast or TV programs talking about South's left edge, and there's no wonder why, right? They were just that little bit too good for Canterbury, and Canterbury just couldn't stop them on that side. Some, you know, major injuries coming out of the Canterbury side. Crichton going down. He seems to be everything for Canterbury, and for everything, you know, we've spoken about their positional play, especially with their spine week after week, but for one of their key players to be a centre and their heartbeat of the side's very, very rare. So, yeah, we could see a little bit of a different Bulldogs over the next couple of weeks if he's out for an extended time. But yeah, certainly South held them through the middle really well early, and then down that left-hand side with Mitchell especially, Walker and Mitchell were just too good for him in the end.
Yeah. You've been calling for Sean Sullivan to step in there, and he was there because of the injury. I didn't think he went that well. And in fact, I think that probably crueled their attack to a certain degree. I know it had worked previous weeks for different moments, but yeah. But yeah, it's hard when you get thrown in there with not long to go, but I still think I see enough from Galvin. He seems to be where all the creation comes from, that you've got to persist with him. But Dogs, plenty of Dogs fans will not agree. You still...
Yeah, mate. Look, the Galvin situation keeps going. I saw some stats just before game day around how many touches he has. He's like 20 to 30 touches more than any other halfback in the competition at the moment. And, you know, I sat back and watched that game and really focused on Galvin especially. I see he's trying to play both halfback and 5'8". He's trying to run the side and be that creative player that you're talking about. And you can't do that at the NRL level, right? So Canterbury has still just got to make this decision. And it's a segue in later one of our listener questions, but... they've just got to do something. And this weekend, they're going to be forced to do something with Crichton out. If they bring Cherry straight back into the centres, I think that makes a little bit of a mockery on what Seraldo's done a couple of weeks ago. But, yeah, Canterbury's starting to get to the stage where they're starting to paint themselves in the corner. So it'll be really interesting to see. But you can't make anyone play halfback and 5'8 in the NRL level. And when you're trying to have 80-odd touches for a half in the NRL, it's just putting too much pressure, especially for the fact he's a young fella with, you know, not a lot of experience.
Yeah, you know, the centre, Tuala, is it?
Yeah.
He actually went quite well on the weekend, I thought. So they obviously have seen something in him that he's now proven is something that does stack up in first grade. He defended well. He made good yards. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see whether they bring Cherry back in or not. So,
yeah, we'll have to wait and see tomorrow, mate. Team is Tuesday will be a big one.
I'm still not convinced on South. They were good. Like you said, left edge is good. But the Dogs haven't been able to score that many points all year, and there are times there where they look pretty impressive. Just missing that final polish, but remains to be seen. I don't know who have the Bunnies played so far. They've played the Tigers. I guess that they had a good win there, but maybe some step up in class in coming weeks. We'll see where they're really at.
Yeah, I think with the Bunnies, they obviously went down to the Roosters and beat the Dolphins, beat the Tigers, but they seem to play as good as they need to play. you know, a couple of times in that game with Canterbury, especially when they knew they had the game won, they just clock off a little bit. You know, whether it's a little bit of laziness or it's that not being that mentally strong, you know, we'll get to the Penrith game next. Penrith don't take their foot off the throat. If they've got you down, they're going to keep on driving at you. So South just need to get that little bit of edge about them, that little bit of mongrel about them, and it could be a little bit of a different story. But we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks.
We will. Yeah, you mentioned the Panthers. That was a demolition, and yep. The Storm weren't awful. Just a different class.
Yeah, it was quite like confronting and shocking, really.
It was a bit. You know,
to give you an idea, the Storm completed at 94%.
Yeah.
Right? That is just unbelievable. But the big not to get bogged down in stats, the big ones for me were the Panthers ran for 1,950 and the Storm ran for 1,180. So basically 800 meter difference, right? So, and you saw that for me, what really stood out wasn't the 50. What really stood out to me was Penrith's defense. They almost defend like a touch football side. You know, if you've the listeners have played touch football, those A and B defenders sprint out at the line and really cut down especially those first couple of tackles, sprint out at the line, knock over the ball carrier, and then they just rotate in from marker into A and B again. So that way, not only are they conserving their energy, but they're just sprinting out and really shutting them down early. And then they control that 1, 2, and potentially third tackle in the set. Then all of a sudden, the backs and the halves are on the back foot. It was quite phenomenal how fast the defensive line from Penrith moved, especially either side of the marker. So teams are going to have to start shifting at least one off the ruck to start disrupting that. Because if you play one out football against Penrith, or even have that, you know, dummy half central game plan like Melbourne do, like Cronulla do, you're going to come into all sorts of troubles. So that was what really stood out for me. Their attack is just, you know, everyone knows their role and the person either side of them. They're just slick and they're just relentless. I've never seen anything like it.
No. And it's unbelievable at round five that they're playing this good. Casey McLean is unbelievable. Is he 20 yet?
Oh, yeah, if he is, he's only just. Yeah, it's quite outstanding how he's been playing.
Speed, he just seems to glide past defenders. Yep. His decision-making is spot on. He certainly wouldn't look out of place in a blue jersey. I know we've got Trell's there having a fair start to the year. Although there's a couple of times where Latrell looked completely gassed. He the play where he tried to flick it on, that was the back end of like, yeah, it was a couple of sets there in a row where he just looked like he was struggling in defence. If we're talking about a high speed game that's going to get to all other speeds in an Origin game, I think McLean gets a nod for me. He is like that. You know, people talk about that game last year against Crichton where he stood up and he certainly wasn't overawed and actually really took it to him. Well, he seems to have gone to a whole other level as well, like the rest of the team. It's be really interesting to see how it unfolds because I can't remember a team starting this well and just looking so far above every other team in the competition at the moment. It's quite incredible.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right, mate. I sat on the couch with the missus watching the Tigers para game just then, and we said to her, how cracking game of rugby league, right? It had everything, it was ups and downs. And I said, these two teams have played some good footy. I said, but Penrith had wiped the floor with both of them, right? Yeah. That's the reality of where Penrith are. Look, obviously, there's a long, long way to go. There's Origin to get through. They're going to have a lot of players play Origin this year. There's obviously injuries that every team will have to deal with. But they are so far ahead of everyone else at the moment. And Storm was a lot of teams, myself included, teams' favourites to win the comp. So it's not like they've gone through probably, you know, five of the top sort of six or seven teams that were expected to do well this year, and they just annihilated them all. So this next run they've got coming up, I think they've only got one more hard game, and when we say hard game, against the usual heavyweights, and then they've got what, you know, teams that we expect to be a little bit of an easier run. So anything could happen with this Penrith side. They look like they got the shits that they didn't win it last year, and they look like they're going to prove a point.
He said that in the call, that Isaiah Yeo said they were embarrassed to go out in the prelim last year.
Is that right?
Yeah. So you might be spot on.
Yeah,
it's if we look at the Storm, it really highlighted how much they're missing in the engine room. They didn't need another forward going down. Kamakamitha goes out, and like Moses Leota, we talked about it last week. He's just a beast, and he just rolled over him. And Lindsay Smith suddenly has gone to another level as well. I know it's a bit of a broken record for this team because they all seem to be rising, but it really did expose where the Storm have been crueled by injuries and probably lacking in a few different areas. They'll still have a really good year, and you imagine they'll still probably make the four, but it is the most vulnerable we've seen them for sure.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more, mate. They'll do their thing, but you look at that forward back compared to years gone by. Obviously, you mentioned Kamakamisa. He's going to have a bit of a rough trot to come. Essi Katawa was obviously not playing this year. Nelson's off beating up retired NRL players. So, you know, they're three big men, like not only physically big, but big as far as, you know, importance to their team. So that's a huge change for them to have. It'll be interesting to see how he goes. I you know, Bellamy, huge amounts of respect for him. He's one of the best, if not the best, to ever do it. And that press conference, it couldn't have been more matter of fact. It was, this is an attitude thing, and if you're not up to it, you'll be back playing reserve grade and I'll go find someone else. So the Storm players are going to cop an absolute flogging at training this week, and it'll be really interesting to see what kind of Storm side turn up next week.
That's his usual go-to. I'm just not sure if he's right. I'm not sure, like, their attitude was good early on, but then they just got blown off the park. Like, you can't always just keep manufacturing when you're down on troops. He did say something about, will you be playing reserve grade? So, but who comes in? Like, it's like you'd be bringing in other guys that we've never heard of or seen very little of. So, I don't know if they're on their final chance or not, but whoever they've got next week will probably be wanting to look out, because they'll be filthy and they'll be coming for them.
Yeah, it's not a good time to get the Storm at the moment. But to your point, they look a little bit more vulnerable than years gone by. So let's see what happens.
Yep. Now this is the game you probably don't want to talk about. I picked him because I just thought that they can't keep showing up and being in games for that long and not get a win. But you could tell after about 10 minutes that they were just nowhere. I heard Brent Reed talking about, you know, he'd be surprised if he's there in a month. To me, like, it's just a cattle thing. Like, who else are you going to put in there? Like, you put another coach in, I'm not sure that's the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, look, you know, to your point about being in games, they weren't in the game from the kickoff. The Cowboys were far more dominant, and to be fair, the Cowboys, they hadn't started the season on fire. They've grown into the season. They've gotten better probably even each game than the last, but by no means an NRL heavyweight at this stage of the season, and they just turned St. George into basically reserve graders. They look like cup players. You know, talk about the Melbourne, you talk about the Penrith side, there isn't one Dragon that would get a bench spot in the Penrith team right now. Right, that's how big a difference there are between the best team and the worst team. To your point around Flanagan, look, I still think Flanagan's the right guy for the job, and the cattle's not right. That being said, Flanagan's starting to have been there long enough now that it's his team. So if he hasn't got something coming shortly, as far as a bit of a change or personnel, then questions have to be asked on what's happened with the recruitment, right? Because while Daniel Anderson's in there as a recruitment role, Flanagan runs the ship, right? So it's one thing to say that the cattle's not there, and you're 100% right, mate, it isn't. Those young fellas coming through will be really bloody good footballers, and right now they're not ready for NRL, and the old veterans that he signed just aren't doing the job for him. You know, Gutherson, Holmes, Cook, they're just not playing well enough at the moment. Jade and Sue on the edge, they're just not dominating their portion of the game. So he hasn't got the right cattle. That being said, mate, he's running out of time. It's his team. Like, he's been coaching them now for a few years. He's been involved in recruitment. Klal Matangi and Atkinson's basically all he signed outside a couple of veterans to try to get them through. So if he doesn't see something soon, it'll be tough going. With Manly this week, there'll be a lot of press on Flanagan if he comes up short against Manly. Even though Manly obviously got the win on the weekend, you know, there's a reality check coming. They're already 0-5. Manly loss would be pretty devastating for him.
Yeah, absolutely. NRL physio reckons that Gutho looked like he pulled up with maybe a bit of a hammy at the end. That may save them from having to make a tough decision, because he's just not going well. And I know he probably keeps on getting picked, but, you know, people talk about moving to 5'8". Is it time to give the young fella Cade Reid a crack? Because he certainly can't go any worse than what they're going. I was listening to a podcast on the trip down the coast, and I can't remember who it was. It might have been Luke Keary, saying that what he's heard is that he's a really tough kid, and he'd be inclined to give him a crack, and at least on the extended bench, and ease him into it. After watching Appa Twiddle come off the bench, he probably wasn't set to actually play. He's only there for an emergency and comes on, and it's one game, yeah. But like, sometimes young kids that have got a lot of confidence just need an opportunity, and they step up to that next level. Do you reckon it's time that they give him a go?
Yeah, look, I'm sort of on the fence with this one, Hawk, which he's unlike me. Look, if St. George were doing well and they were, you know, starting to win some games, I certainly would. Even to start the season, the St. George forward pack was really, you know, not dominating, but they were going forward to give him some room. I just hate to see young halves go in teams that are on the back foot and they're under the pump. But it gets to a stage where, you know, if you're good enough, then you've got to play first grade. So it's one of those things where they have to do something. To me, you know, we saw King Tonga in the side this weekend. Everyone was calling for Flanagan's head and for Tonga to be playing. Well, it went backwards for mine, not only on the scoreboard, but just the way they played, the way they defended as well. So his defence isn't up to NRL standard at the moment. There's no use bringing Sloan and playing Sloan at fullback. His defence is worse. So whether I think Gutho is carrying an injury, I think he's probably carried an injury for large chunks of last year as well. So, Look, potentially it is time, mate, to give the young fella a go and see what he's like. There's word that Flanagan will be back this weekend, and he's actually going to play 7, and they're going to move Aikens to 6 to try and take some pressure off him. But to your point, the drums are beating, mate, and something's got to change soon. And if the young fella doesn't get a go there, he's probably going to want to go somewhere else sooner enough. So, the next week or two might be it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going backwards, right? Like you talked about, you don't want him, you know, being behind a beaten pack. But apart from the weekend, they haven't been beaten. The pack's actually gone quite well. Yeah. And even on the weekend, they had plenty of opportunity and good ball where they just offered nothing.
They're getting down the field. You're right.
Yeah, to me, if you get him in there and there's certain creating enough opportunities, then let's find out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we probably should touch on the Cowboys, because they suddenly look good. Like they making meters with ease. They've Jackson Purdue. Drink water. They're creating stuff. They're looking sharp all of a sudden. It's amazing what a few weeks of football does, because we talked about the coach being under pressure, but they suddenly look like they could be a pretty good team given the way that the game is being played at the moment.
Yeah, I think, you know, us included, I think we're a little bit harsh on the Cowboys early. They lost in Vegas, which, you know, the Knights certainly deserved the win, but the Cowboys were thereabouts when Drinkwater, you know, got injured and barely played much footy at all. And then they lost against the Tigers coming back from Vegas. After that, they've looked good and they've gotten better each time. So, yeah, I think we're probably a little harsh on the Cowboys early. It'll be interesting. You know, they've beaten the Titans, obviously the Storm, who aren't doing real well, and then the Dragons. So it'll be interesting this week against the Broncos. It'll be a big game at Suncorp. It'll be a Friday night game, so there'll be people hanging off the rafters out of Suncorp. So it'll be really interesting to see how they go. Obviously, Broncos have got a few injuries as well, so it's a good time to come up against them. But yeah, the Cowboys keep getting better, so maybe we're just a little bit harsh on them early, mate, on the back of that Vegas trip.
Yeah, turns out the Knights are pretty handy as well. So again, maybe they were closer to the mark in that first game than we thought.
Yeah.
All right, Bronx Titans. Yeah, injuries to the Broncos. Maybe, I don't know if I'm delusional, but I still saw plenty to like about the Titans. They have a good crack, don't they?
Yeah, they do, mate. Look, I think, you know, with respect to the Titans, I think without the injuries, Broncos not rack up a score, but there were certainly more tries to be had. Even that Walsh try right on half time that got pulled back, that was something special to watch. But look, the Titans are certainly edging towards that more, you know, traditional grind sort of footy, you know, where they're not letting those teams just run away with it like they have in the past. So, you know, they're in a long rebuild. We spoke about that in the preseason. But Henne certainly got them playing some good footy, playing together. I'd just like to see a little bit more mongrel in the forwards, you know, especially Tino, Mo Futuaika. You know, Tino spoke 2 weeks ago before the Dragons game about he hasn't been playing to standard and he wanted to really make his mark. Well, another 2 weeks have gone and I haven't seen anything different. So I don't know whether he's carrying a niggle or something's going on in his life. But, you know, for them to get going, both Tino and Mo need to step up and really lead the way for him. But, yeah, look, he's got a good couple of young back rowers, Bai and Howe, I think you pronounce it. They've got some really good footwork. They're big men, run good lines off their halves. So, look, they'll win a few games throughout the year, there's no question, and they'll keep getting better. The longer Henne's there, the better for the club, mate, for mine.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, there's plenty to like there. We'll get to who the Broncos are playing this week, but they were pretty decimated by injury, and the game did, as you said, when Walsh went off, that certainly brought the Titans back into the game because he was looking like he was in a mood. So it'll be really interesting to see where they go from here. But compared to where they were last year, they seem to be probably ahead of where they were, but this will be a real test now with guys out. But again, we saw what happened last year when they were missing players. People stood up. Ben Hunt goes to halfback. Ezra Mam gets more football. He certainly looked good when he had more of that freedom. So they might just roll on. Be interesting to see. Sharkies, Warriors. Oh, mate, there's a couple of teams where I just cannot pick. And these two, two of them. And
yeah.
Like the Sharks, yeah. One week you just think, oh, they're rubbish. The next week they look a million bucks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Sharks, you know, again, we might have been a little bit harsh on the Sharks as well. They went down to Penrith and dropped the game after that. Outside of that, the Sharks haven't looked too bad. So I watched this game with a couple of beers in me, so I remember most of it, but it got a little bit hazy towards the end. Look, the Warriors just don't seem, you know, similar to, we just spoke about the Titans' middles. The Warriors don't seem to have packed that punch through the middle like they had in the last 12 months. So Fisher Harris, obviously Barnett's been in and out I think he's only played the one. You know, Aaron Clark, he was lock of the year last year in the Dally M's, and we're just not seeing that same punch through the middle. I really thought Cronulla, obviously they've got that really key back three that make a lot of yards for them. I just thought they got on that momentum and really got the roll through the middle. So for the Warriors, for me, they just got to get back to that football. You know, you talk about a few teams not having a halfback. I probably think the Warriors have got two. So not only are they not going forward like they had been, but I really think they've got to do something with Boyd and Metcalf. I know Metcalf looks like he's injured again. They don't quite seem like they're gelling to me. It looks like they both want to have the steering wheel in their hand. Mm-hmm. So there's probably a little bit to go there as well, mate, for mine with the Warriors.
Yeah, that's definitely been a turnaround. I mean, they looked so good against the Knights a couple of weeks before. Mm. And then since Metcalf's come in, it certainly has halted momentum to a certain degree. But I think maybe you're right, we're too harsh on the Sharks. But if they can start getting consistency, they'll do their usual finish middle of the eight there somewhere and roll out when they face the Panthers in the prelim.
Yep. Yeah, mate. Yeah, I don't think it'll be much difference, mate. But yeah, look, they were pretty good. I thought Kennedy, it was one of his better games. And Hero, he's just a beast. You know, he's another centre. You talk about centres at Origin time. He's another centre. I don't know whether if he's a Kiwi, like his old man, or whether he qualifies. But he's a beast as well. He had another huge game. So yeah, they'll be thereabouts again, mate. I think we underestimated how good Penrith were.
Yeah.
In round two when they played Cronulla, mate.
Yeah, and the impact of that the following week, because they were certainly very flat against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about the Knights going maybe a bit better than we thought too early on. What I really liked about them was the patience they showed in that second half when they had disallowed tries. They just had seemed to have so many things go wrong, and plenty of teams would have just, like, they would have let those setbacks impact them, and then the other mob, particularly a team that's has been pretty consistent like the Raiders, but they just kept coming. And there's a few people in the para group saying you can see why we didn't fight harder to keep Sanders. He was awful out on the edge defending, wasn't he?
Yeah, he wasn't tremendous, mate. He certainly wasn't. Look, I think, you know, you mentioned the Knights being cool, calm and collected. I think Sandon Smith, he's just been a huge shining for Newcastle. You think how Newcastle has struggled with, you know, with all due respect, probably a weaker roster than last year. Plus, you make sure Brown and Ponga go down injured. He's the ship, and he's just kept them calm and relaxed and just pushing in the right direction. You know, you look without Ponga and Smith, with respect to them, there's no superstars in the lineup. They've got a couple of good backs with, you know, Dom Young and Bradman Bester, you know, fairly high up in their business.
And the two Fletchers killing
The two Fletchers, yeah. There's these young fellas that have come through and are just playing sensational football. And then, you know, the Marzus and the Gagais, they've still got the odd mistake in them, but the Knights have been cool, calm and collected after they make that mistake. So it gives them that little bit extra confidence that they're just going to go out and play that beast mode football that Marzu likes playing. And when he makes that stupid error that we all know he's going to have, you know, that they, okay, it is what it is, boys. Let's just get back set and go again. So, you know, with Sandon Smith there doing that, anything's possible when the two big guns come back. It'll be really interesting for them.
Absolutely. He showed a great deal of maturity, and maybe he just needed to have a team that was his own, which he seems to be thriving in at the moment. To show how far off the mark the Raiders were, I don't remember Dane Gagai having that much of an influence and beating so many players and looking fast against the team for a while. Like, he's toiled away and he still defends well, but he looked like he was 22 again from that performance. So that might just, the poor old Raiders might be copping a flogging from Ricky too after that display.
Yeah, he seems like he's staying pretty calm in press conferences at the moment, Ricky. So, you know, you don't know whether it's that hangover we spoke about from last season with these young backs especially. Their forwards are pretty experienced, you know, with the exception of Noel Martin, who's had an absolute breakout season. Their forwards are pretty experienced and hard-edged, so I wouldn't expect them not to have that hangover. Their backs are a little bit younger. But, yeah, right now they're off the pace, right? They're not rolling through the forwards, similar to the Warriors. You know, the Warriors started real well. These last couple of weeks haven't been great, but similar there, the Raiders forward pack just hasn't inserted dominance. And this is another example of it where the Knights just got on top of them and just kept their momentum.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to the previews. This the first one, Thursday night. To me, the only question is, do the Panthers keep their foot on the throat, or do they eventually have a flat game? Because from what we've seen from both teams, this should be an absolute annihilation, because the Dogs have still got the problem that they're not really got the guys in the middle to roll on, and the Panthers are doing the exact opposite. So, I don't know anyone else who's going to put that any other way than if the Panthers continue on their role, there's just no chance for the Dogs.
No, agreed, mate. Penrith, you keep picking Penrith until they look like they're going to slow down. But obviously, Crichton's going to be huge for them. You know, everyone hears about how important he is for their side, both with attack and defence, and then overall leadership. So him not being there is going to be a big thing for them. And then where they go with selection, you know, do they push Burton out there and slide Sean O'Sullivan at seven and move everyone out one? Do they bring Cherry back in, which was obviously a pretty big press story 2 weeks ago? So either way, it's going to be lead the media all week up until the Thursday kickoff. But I can only see one result here, mate, and it'll just be by how many for Penrith.
Yeah, I think you're right. Dragons, Seagulls. You could just as easily see the Seagulls after they've had their bounce back factor then have a flat one, but I'm not sure that's going to be the case. It's the same as the previous game. There are just too many questions for the Dragons, and I'm actually feeling a bit burnt by them, because I think I've mistipped them every week. Yep. That's not true. I probably haven't. Not every week, but they just let me down again and again. And I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure how this goes any other way.
Yeah, no. Try being a supporter, mate. If you feel let down, I'm devastated. It's not. He has to do what, in one way, what Foran did last week. Just get them back to basic football, run hard, tackle hard. Obviously, there's going to be some changes he's going to make. But there's a lot of players at the Dragons on notice at the moment. The club's made the decision to halt all contract negotiations with anyone internally. So the likes of Cook were very, very close to re-signing a one-year extension. And there's probably seven or eight, I think the number is, that are in the process, and they've just basically put a stop to it all. So, you know, rugby league players love nothing more than money. So it'd be interesting to see how they react to that. But yeah, if they don't get over the top of Manly, whether Manly won last week or not, it'll be an ugly scenes at Wollongong on Friday night.
You would think so. Luke Keary again talking about when the team know the coach is on the way out. He said it didn't happen when he was in the NRL, but when he went to Catalans and they knew the coach was likely going to get fired, he said it does seep into the group, and you're not playing at the optimum. You're kind of in a holding pattern, just waiting for them to make the actual decision. Yeah. So it'll be really interesting to see if they're still playing for the coach and whether they come back and rip in the Dragons. I said it only last week, pretty much every week, they're not far away. Like, they just need something in attack. They just need a spark. But that was just so awful last week. It's a tough bounce back.
Yeah, no, mate. I'd love to see them get the win, but right now you've got to think that Manly got a few more points in them than the Dragons do.
Absolutely. Bronx Cowboys. I think with the injuries they've got, this will make this one much closer. This could actually be a cracker. Thoughts?
Yeah, agree, mate. Obviously, the three key players for the Broncos are out, and out for long term. So Hunt's out for about 6 to 8. Walsh is out for about 4 to 6, and Reynolds is out for at least 2, could be 3. So they're three pretty important players. So there's talk Jesse Arthurs will come into the side potentially at fullback, if not on the wing, which will be at least one of them. But look, they're playing well. They've been nursing a few of the minutes into the forwards. You know, Haas has obviously missed a game, and he didn't play huge minutes on the weekend. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with the Cowboys. They've obviously still got more than enough points in them, even without those players. You know, you think Stags, Their wingers are both playing some good football at the moment as well. So they've certainly got the points. Ezra Mann's going to be a key, you know, the forwards and then Ezra Mann are going to be key to stand up against the Cowboys. But yeah, if you're going to play the Broncos, this is the week to get them. So the Cowboys will think they'll have a sniff, and Peyton will certainly have them up firing. Be interesting to see those young fellows, especially Jackson Purdue, see if he backs up that very impressive effort against the Dragons this weekend against the Broncos.
Absolutely, and the Cowboys will throw plenty at them, but the thing with the Broncos' defence is that they scramble so well, and we've talked to death, and everyone has, about, you know, the Madge works them really hard, but it just shows, like, they just keep showing up, and there's every chance that that it could be a scrappy, high-scoring game if they're, both teams are allowed to open up. So if the game opens up, it could be anything. Should be a cracker, though. I'm looking forward to that one. Bunnies Raiders in Perth.
Yeah, we've got the double header in Perth, which will be interesting to see. Hopefully a lot of the locals get out and start getting some rugby league into them for the next season. And this game will be an interesting one. Obviously, we've spoken about the Raiders coming off a few losses, aren't really making yardage in the middle with those forwards, and then Rabbitohs doing enough to win without being outstanding. So it'll be really interesting to see. Obviously, Souths are going to keep with the same model. They're going to really try and hold the middle and then use their outside men. And Raiders will be hoping to really control that ruck and just drag them down into their style of football. An arm wrestle event. So this could go either way. I'm not really sure who's going to get the chocolates on this one, mate.
Me either. I just think I've just got a feeling that the Raiders will bounce back, but just is it enough? The Bunnies have looked pretty good. Some guys Jai Gray, mate, he had a couple of unbelievable try saves. He's amazing. Like, he's only a little fella, but he punches above his weight every week. So good.
Yeah, he's been awesome for him, and it's allowed Latrell to get out into the centres, where it cuts obviously down on his kilometres throughout the game, so it gives him more, more attacking opportunities as far as down that end with, you know, he's still got petrol in the tank. So he's been a huge addition to them, Dry Grey, this year.
Huge. I think that'll be another good one, that one. So that's those two games are on the Saturday.
Sharks Roosters on the is the second one, mate, on the double header. So that's a big one. The Roosters obviously coming off the bye, Sharks getting a good win against the Warriors at home. So another game that could go either way in that game. So it'll be interesting to see how the Roosters come back off the bye. They've had some ups and down games. Obviously, the halves are still sort of starting to gel with each other. So it'll be a big game to see if they're any closer. They would have put, you know, two big weeks into a lot of ball work, the Roosters. So I've probably got the Roosters slightly ahead, but again, we might be being a bit harsh on the Sharks, mate.
It should be another good game. It's going to be it's tipster's nightmare at the moment. I know I've seen your brother just keeps picking winners, but I'm finding an absolute battle at the moment because I'm getting the upsets wrong and I'm getting the favourite games wrong. So,
yeah, he has asked to see your tips early so he can go the other way, mate.
That's fair. Oh, fuck! They're just let down by too many teams. What else do we need to talk about for the Sharks Roosters? I think it really will give us a bit of we'll be able to see where the Roosters are at, I think, because like you said, we probably are unfair on the Sharks and they seem to be on the up at the moment. That's a couple of good ones in a row. Roosters unconvincing. It will be interesting to see because they have started season slowly and they don't seem to start turning it around until towards the middle of the year. So probably still the Sharks for mine, but probably given my record in the last couple of weeks at least, that you probably go the opposite.
Yeah, well, at 2-2, They're sitting 10th, just a little bit ahead of the Storm, believe it or not. At 11th, they're 2-3, which you wouldn't believe at the start of the season. But, yeah, look, the Roosters have shown some glimpses without being outstanding and consistent. So that'll be a big game. You know, that could have ramifications for the back end of the season if they're fighting out for top four spots, top six spots, both of those two teams. You think are going to be thereabouts. So to get a win over a team similar spot on the ladder will be really important for them.
Absolutely. Storm Warriors, you would expect that both teams would be looking to bounce back. I think the problem for the Storm still will be the pack.
Yeah.
Where do they go from here, Storm?
Yeah, that's right, mate. If the Warriors forward pack can get a little bit more mongrel in them and really dominate the middle, it's going to be a long night for the Storm because they've shown that they haven't quite got the ability to hold in when momentum is going against them. So that's what it'll be for me. If the Warriors hold the ball complete, high percentage, really control the ruck through their forward pack, then it'll be a long night for the Storm. I won't be surprised to see a Warriors win here.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same, which would be staggering to see the Storm 2-4. So that would certainly be a story. Next game, Eels Titans. We've talked about the Titans showing that they are prepared to get down and dirty. My concern for Parra is now Simonson will be out. Russell won't play. That was a pretty nasty head knock. Pezzett, how serious is he? But also, Papali was limping at the back end. They had him playing on the wing. Also, we got in the back line. There just seemed to be a lot of walking wounded out there. How many of them are going to play? Josh Adokar, he had ribs. Like, will he be up for it? This could be a tough one for us.
Yeah, it could be, mate. Even Moses, he didn't take a kick a goal there at one stage. And every time he was kicking general play, he had a twinge, whether it was a groin or a hemi. So, yeah, look, right now the Eels are the walking wounded. So whether you're going to get an idea on Tuesday, so close to today's game when he releases his team, but Riles is going to have to put something close to what he knows out tomorrow. And then you're just going to have to get a guide on who they're going to play. But I could see some young fellas coming in and get an opportunity. So it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, they're playing at home, so that's a huge advantage for them. You'd expect a Sunday 2 o'clock game at Combank that there's a fair crowd there, even on the back of the Golden Point loss today. But the Titans are in this. Again, if we can get something from Tino and Mo Fuitawaker up front, the Titans could come down to Sydney and snag 2 points off a wounded Eels side, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. What I have liked about the Eels, particularly this week, the edge just keep improving. Katonga and Tuolangi, and we just keep scoring points. We defended better because it did feel like we were defending on the line for a lot of the game. But you would expect that the Eels, if they can keep that attacking thread up, that they should have too many points for them. But again, let's just wait and see who they are able to field. Yep. Tigers Knights. Here are two teams that we did not expect to be at the top of the table, but here we are. And I like this one too. I think it should be a good one.
Yeah, I think when Channel 9 picked 4 o'clock Sunday game at the start of the season, they picked Tigers and Knights, they weren't expecting second v. third. So it's a shame in one way, with all respect to Campbelltown, it's a shame that this isn't being played at Leichhardt or up at Marathon for the Tigers or the Newcastle fans. I'm sure they'll get plenty out of Campbelltown. But yeah, look, cracking game. Both teams are certainly on a high. They're both playing really exciting brands of football. If Jerome Luai is back in, if he does come back early, be a huge inclusion for them, for the Tigers, obviously. But Newcastle just seem to have that little bit more about them this year. They've got that little bit of an edge in the forward pack. They've got that little calm influence out there with Sam and Smith, as we spoke about. So if the Knights can continue that dominance through the middle and lay that platform, I think they could get them down there. But yeah, what a cracking game, and how exciting it is for two groups of fans that haven't really tasted much success for a long time, that they got Sunday football 4 o'clock, 2v3. That's pretty cool for them.
Yeah, it is. The Tigers fans were reasonably well behaved. I thought, you know, given they've been struggling for so long, they might get a bit more lippy, but they were pretty sweet. Nothing like seeing a fan base that's been struggling for so long come good. We only got to look a few years back, the Dogs, when they started performing again after a long time in the doldrums. It's it is exciting to see. I tell you what, I sort of noticed today with the Tigers, which I know they had been doing, but seeing it there live, just about every set, there's either two or three offloads and then the chance for two or three more. They just get so much second phase play. So this could be a real open attacking game, and it should be good to watch.
Yeah, can't wait for it, mate. I really liked this week. They panned to the coach's box, and Ponga was in the back. He stood the whole game behind Holbrook, and you could see he was riding the result. Like, he was genuinely had skin in the game. So he's Holbrook's got a little bit of identity back for them and a little bit of passion. So, look, it'll be interesting to see how they keep going, but certainly right now it'll be a cracking game for both teams.
There would. All right, this week's power rankings from Gags. Can't argue too much with that. I think the Cowboys might find themselves a bit unlucky. But other than that, we've got Panthers, Tigers, Knights, Bronx, Sharks. They are the form five teams of the comp.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to Gags. Look, I think the Warriors probably, they were the team to flip out from last week that he had in the side. But, they're 3-2 and probably haven't been as impressive. They got a similar record to the Broncos, obviously, but the Broncos have beaten a couple of extras. So I'm probably well thereabouts. There's a couple of key games that we've gone through already this week that will have an impact, I'm sure, on that. But, once again, Gags has come through with something that makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. All right, listener questions. Has Gus's call that Gavin is the best junior he's ever has seen forced the Dogs to keep him in first grade? When Crichton was injured, they brought on a controlling half when a like-for-like replacement in Cherry was sitting on the bench. We can all see that Gavin is a running 5'8". Yeah, absolutely. We're just talking today, like... Galvin would have been flying at the start of the year if he'd come to Para and was playing outside Moses, given like what the Para attack's doing at the moment. Mind you, Keon might be regretting going to the Dragons because he would have looked up Jake and mate.
he would have.
Yeah, it was interesting to see. I don't know about that. Like, Sean Sullivan. Has been to a whole lot of clubs, and he's never really been a consistent first grader. I'm not sure that he's the answer, but to the caller's point, why did they not bring on Cherry? To me, that just made the most sense.
Yeah, and that'll be the big call this week when he announces the team tomorrow, what he does with Crichton. Now, if he does bring Cherry back, then it makes it a little bit strange to me about what's happened 2 weeks ago, what's happened again when they brought Sullivan on. I think, you know, we've seen it time and time. They continue to muck around with this spine, Canterbury. So I think Gus is certainly, his call about he's been the best junior he's seen. I don't think that's kept him in the side. I think Galvin should be in their first 13. I just think they can't settle on who else should be with him and in what seats they should all be sitting on. So, you know, to my point earlier about how many touches he's got, he's trying to play 6 and 7. I think there's no doubt that Galvin is a 6. And for that matter, I think Burton isn't a 6. I think he either should be playing a lock or he should be playing in the centres. So I think they got the puzzle pieces there. I just think they got them in the wrong order. So, to the question, I don't think Gus's call's holding him in the side. I think they just need to move the players around, mate.
Yep, we just haven't seen the best of Burton in the current setup either. Like you said, you can see what a damaging runner he's been. Something's got to move there. The other question: can the Knights or the Tigers make the 8 after the start of the season. Absolutely. They have been the two surprise packets to a certain degree. It'll come down to what we talked about earlier. If they both teams can stay fit, I think they're both a massive chance. And again, we're talking about five rounds, but there's a few teams there that traditionally make a late, well, they're sort of there or thereabouts all the time, or make a late charge like the Roosters. I just don't know. I mean, who from that bottom eight at the moment is going to come up and replace them? Like,
yeah.
I think there are every chance.
Yeah, I agree, mate. Look, I had a bit of a look into it. So while you were driving back from Combank, mate, I had a look into it. The next five games for both teams will be huge. So the Tigers have got the Knights, so they play each other, but then they've got the Broncos, Raiders, Sharks, Storm. So that will be a really interesting patch. You know, if they can jump up, you know, two, even three would be outstanding. I think if they won three out of that five, I think they'll, you know, book their place. But if they go one from five in that, then it could be a little bit different. And the Knights have got the Tigers, Roosters, Penrith, South, Dragons. So the Knights have probably got a little bit of an easier draw, and for mine going a little bit better, you know, they're both, one's missing Lulawai, the other one's missing Ponga and Brown. But these next 5 weeks, I think, will be key. So they've both got off to a flyer. They've both put themselves in a really good spot, and their coaches and fans couldn't be any happier than what they are now. These next 5 weeks will be key for them, but it'll be a huge story if both teams or either team could make the semi-finals and, you know, mix up the usual eight that usually get in there. It'd be pretty cool for the league and the supporters, mate.
Yeah, but just another dagger into the heart of Parra and St. George and Aurora fans.
Yeah, I can't see it happening this year, mate. 2027.
No, well, we talked about it on the way to the game today. We know we're not going to win the comp this year, but you want to see something that makes you believe you might be able to in some time in the next two or three.
Yeah. 100%, mate. Look, that's all you can hope for. What Penrith have done, and even to a lesser degree, what Melbourne have done over the last decade is unbelievable. And no supporter could ever hope or expect that. So if your team can give it a shot once every 4 or 5 years or get thereabouts, as a long-suffering Dragons fan, I'd love to make the semi-finals once in a while and go close here or there. But... yeah, it certainly won't be this year, mate.
No. By the way, how's your dad holding up?
He's not going too well, mate. I sat with him through the Knights game yesterday and had a couple of beers for Easter. He actually mentioned you and he said, apologise to Hawk for me calling him out on socials that the Dragons were going to make the eight because it's not going to happen. So, he'll be listening to this and he'll know I did the right thing and apologise, mate.
Yeah, nice. So I'm feeling for him. I know how passionate he is, but I think it's more of a reality check for most Dragons. We all start the year with hope. I think Parra are sitting about where I thought they would. Maybe like with the draw we had, two from five, I would have taken that. Didn't expect to beat the big teams, but for you guys, you would have at least hoped to snag one or two of those. And you've probably got more of the higher quality teams to come, so that all makes it even harder to watch, I'm sure.
Yeah, spot on, mate. St. George would have been expecting to win at least two and then to knock over Manly before a ball was kicked. But you look back now, they unfortunately have gotten worse each week, and the Manly game will be very interesting. I don't think it'll be exciting viewing, but it'll be an interesting result and outcome either way, mate.
Well, fingers crossed for you, mate. And hopefully next week we are both in a better mood after our teams have had a win. For all of you listening, let's hope your team goes well and has a good crack. Certainly some interesting results, and I'm sure this weekend will throw up many more interesting results and scenarios. Always rugby league, the game that doesn't sleep. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.